Hello and welcome to our midweek podcast. This is our last one for a couple of weeks. We're taking a break over Easter. But today is the 31st of March and we are just a few days from Easter, very much the high point of the Christian calendar. And the events of Easter, of course, at the centre of our good news. So we think again of Jesus dying on the cross for our sin and being raised from the dead, bringing the promise of salvation and the gift of eternal life. But as we approach this Easter, I have a question for us. Not do you know this good news, but do you know this good news is definitely for you? Now, I'm particularly addressing those of us who may sometimes feel like a fraud. Do you know that feeling? You are a believer, but you're also very conscious of your failings. Maybe there are particular besetting sins that get you down, whether they are sins of commission, thoughts, actions, reactions that you know are wrong, you see those in your life, or maybe you're more aware of sins of omission, things that you should have done but have neglected to do. And with all these failures weighing on your conscience, there's part of you that thinks that maybe the good news of Easter is just too good to be true for someone like you. It just couldn't apply in your case. Well, if you know that feeling, let me share with you just two words from the end of Mark's Gospel. I think they are two of my favourite words in the whole Bible. They come in Mark chapter 16, verse 7, and the words are, "and Peter." They're spoken to the three women, the two Marys and Salome, who have visited Jesus' tomb on Easter morning. They're expecting to anoint his dead body with the spices they've brought with them, and they're wondering who might help them with the very heavy stone that would have covered the entrance. But instead, when they arrive, much to their surprise, they find the stone's been rolled away, and when they enter, they see a young man dressed in white. It's an angel, a messenger from God. And they have the sort of standard reaction to angels. They're alarmed. But the angel reassures them. "Don't be alarmed," he says. And then he announces the remarkable good news. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him." But then the angel tells them to pass it on. He says, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Now, at first, we might think, well, why does he say the disciples and Peter? I mean, Peter is one of the disciples. Why single him out in that way? But actually, if we know anything about Peter's story, we know why. Remember, Peter was the foremost disciple, one of the first Jesus called, one of those fishermen. He was the first to confess that Jesus was the Christ. He was also the boldest in his claims. He said, "Even if all fall away, I won't. Even if I have to die with you," he said to Jesus, "I will never disown you." And yet, of course, we know it was this Peter who did disown Jesus three times in a row, just as Jesus had predicted. Peter had aimed so high and claimed so much, but then fallen so far. He'd failed his Lord, and then again, and then again. And ever since he heard that cock crow, Peter must have thought, well, that was it. Jesus would never want him back, not after what he'd done. But then hear this message from the Lord on Easter Sunday. "Jesus is risen. And then go and tell his disciples and Peter, Jesus is alive and he's gone to Galilee, where you'll see him just as he told you." Imagine for a moment the women's message didn't include those two words. The women would have said to the disciples, "The angel said Jesus is risen and wants to see you in Galilee." And you can imagine Peter saying to the rest of them, "Oh, you all go ahead. Jesus won't want to see me, not after what I did." But perhaps we can imagine the women responding, "Oh, no, Peter, the angels specifically mentioned you. He said, tell Peter, Jesus wants to see him too. Glorious words of grace to a sinner. Jesus died and rose for sinners. Jesus died and rose for people like Peter. Jesus died and rose for people who let him down. Jesus died and rose for people who fail spectacularly. Jesus died and rose for people who fail again and again. He died and rose for people like us. He paid the full price for all our sins. He dealt with everyone. And now he's risen as our Lord, who loves us, who's praying for us, who is at work in us by his Spirit, and who will lead us home. Good news for the disciples and Peter and for you and me. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your extraordinary kindness and grace to us. We thank you that you came into the world to save sinners. We thank you that you do not treat us as our sins deserve. We thank you that while we were still sinners, you died for us. We thank you for lavishing your grace upon us. This Easter, Lord, help us to know and believe and rejoice in this good news. For we ask it in your name. Amen. And now, Father, we just want to pray for our Easter services. We thank you, Lord, that we can now accommodate more people at church. We pray for each person who comes to our services on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, as well as anyone listening in, that we would all see your saving power and wisdom displayed on the cross, and that we would trust in our risen Saviour. We pray that you would strengthen our dependence and confidence in him. We pray in your kindness, some may turn to him, putting their hope in him for the first time. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Well, thank you for listening in. Very much hope to see a number of you either on Good Friday or Easter Sunday. Remember, there is no pandemic prayer meeting this Friday. We're taking a break for a couple of weeks on that as well. But do have a good day and look forward to seeing you soon.